Okay, welcome back. We're continuing Unit 7, looking inside the labor market with Lesson 3. So inside the labor market, we have come up with multiple stories about unemployment and how unemployment can, come about. So can these theories help to explain differences between the United States and Europe? So we look back and we think about, the sticky wages or, the minimum wage increasing. Are those the factors, some factors that played a part in unemployment in the United States? So we kind of want to discuss some differences between Europe and the United States. So first, it is generally the case that minimum wage are more generous in Europe than in the United States. So it's certainly a possibility that a higher minimum wage in Europe can contribute to higher levels of unemployment there, as people will want to trade their time for dollars, and if they are, or for whatever monetary unit you have, they'll want to trade their time for that monetary unit. And if unemployment is paying, $10 an hour, let's say, why go trade your time and work when you can work for free there in Europe at a higher wage? So you can see where people's mindsets may have been when, the unemployment rate in the European nations were was higher than the United States. So the minimum wage there is higher. So therefore, it'll deter more people from going to look for jobs inside the labor market. Second, there is some evidence that nominal wages are in some sense stickier or artificially higher in Europe than in the United States. The United States is going to, most firms in the U.S. are going to pay, at equilibrium labor prices or slightly above, where Europe may be a little more liberal than the United States in the fact of paying wages out. So the United States, I think, is a little more capitalistic in that sense, where Europe has undertaken somewhat of a socialistic model. Third, we can observe that unions are generally more prevalent and more powerful in Europe than in the United States, though some of the stories that have been told are potentially helpful in explaining the differences between the United States and Europe pertaining to unions. Unions are a large factor in the United States and were early in the mid-1900s in the United States, the mid-20th century in the United States. But I think labor union impact has slightly dwindled over the course of history in the United States, where Europe labor impact is still rather prevalent. So there's another difference for potential stickier wages in Europe than in the United States. All of these theories are silent about the underlying movement of workers from unemployment to unemployment to employment and back again. These figures, the figure of unemployment in the labor market that we discussed in Lesson 2, paints a static picture of a world that is in fact dynamic and fluid. There is no means in the framework to explore the role of unemployment insurance and other policies that differ across Europe and the United States. So market forces may work differently in the labor market. Like in the figure unemployment in the labor market, there are more workers wanting to work than there are jobs offered by firms. That means there's going to be a high unemployment rate here. The standard story of market equilibrium or market adjustment is that workers willing to work for a lower wage would approach a firm, offer to undercut the wage of an existing worker, and be immediately hired as a replacement. Those things do happen, especially if you bring in a third-party contractor to operate inside of your operation, and another third-party contractor can come in, underbid that labor price, and the third-party contractor that's currently in place can be let go, and another contractor can come in and assume those jobs at a lower price or a lower wage. But this is not how hiring and firing usually works in the labor market. Firms have a relationship with their existing workers. They know if their workers are competent or not, if they know if they're hardworking and reliable. Firms will not be readily able to replace them, you know, an unknown quantity of labor, even for a lower wage. You don't know the skill set that you're going to bring on with employees with lower wages. And, you know, it's tough sometimes for employers to let these existing employees go because, you know, they already know their skill set and if they're competent, reliable, and hardworking. Whereas if they bring in people with lower wages, they don't know their work habits. So for these reasons, researchers in the labor economics think that the figure unemployment in the labor market is too simple a framework to explain the realities of modern labor markets. Instead, they frequently turn to a different framework more suited to thinking about labor market flows.